Another day. We'll manage, Obi-Wan said. Thank you. She nodded. Go splash yourselves, then. I'll get the stew on the table. So tired that they were almost dropping face first into their plates, they gratefully ate the hot, tasteless stew and staggered back to the storeroom. See? What did I tell you? Said Anakin, his voice slurring into sleep. Make friends with the younglings? And everyone thinks you're fine. Obi-Wan pulled his blanket over his head. They jerked awake before dawn to screaming sirens and a howling in the Force. Even as they fumbled out from under their blankets, Teba Jacklin pounded her fists on the storeroom door and flung it open. Theta storm, Teebs, she said, turning on the light. It's bad. One look at her face and Obi-Wan knew that the trouble he and Anakin had sensed was upon them. How can we help? He said, reaching for his boots. Jacklin was thrumming with an ill-concealed fear. You said you know machines, that's true. Not fast talk to sweeten us on you. No, it's true, said Anakin, dragging on his own boots. What do you need, Teba? Torbell's storm sirens were still wailing, a horrible, shrill sound like a sand panther's claws on Durasteel. Jacklin pressed a hand to her forehead, as though the shrill sound pained her. You remember what a Theta storm is, Teeb Yavid? Obi-Wan nodded. Sunspot activity agitates radioactive Theta particles that have been trapped in a planet's atmosphere. A storm can last for minutes or hours, depending on the strength of the coronal flare and the concentration of Theta particles in any given location. Eyes narrowed, Jacklin stepped back. That's no plainspoke farmer's answer. Stang. Weary and hammered by the Force's loud alarm, he'd forgotten for a moment who he was meant to be. I read it once, he said, pretending bewilderment. Some fancy book-smart fellow's ramblings happened to stick in my mind, that's all. No harm meant, Teba. He does that, Teba, said Anakin. He reads things Cousin Yavid does, and spouts them off after like he knows more than the rest of us. Doesn't make him many friends. But he's my family, so I have to live with it. She looked torn, wanting to believe them, afraid that if she did, it might go against her later. Teba, we really do know machines, said Anakin. What's there to be done that we can help with? The storm shields, she said, rubbing the back of her hand across her eyes. They drag a lot of power, but so does the mine, and the mine can't close down, not the refinery either. Because they're behind on their quota and the convoy is coming, Obi-Wan thought, then said, So you need eyes in the power plant? In case of overload, what else? The shield generators need checking too, she said. If we lose one, we'll have folk Theta poisoned or worse. We do our best to keep the machines working, but... There's been no money for a long time. You've had to patch and make do, said Anakin, and hope things don't fall apart. Jacklin stared at him, uncertain. Yes, it's hard, always hard. I know, said Anakin, his voice softening. I've lived it. And because that was true, and she could see it was true, Jacklin abandoned her suspicion. Your help's all needed. Most of our men are down the mine. Puzzled, Obi-Wan looked up from tightening his bootlaces. What about the village's women? Some know machines, most don't, said Jacklin. I'm trying to change it, but change comes slow. It's sure you are that you know machines. I can trust you. Don't worry, Teba, said Anakin, confidently smiling. We won't let you down. He's right, we won't, said Obi-Wan as Teba Jacklin snorted. Who do we report to? Well, it should be Rickard, Jacklin said, uncertain. But likely he's gone down the mine again. Arad's his second. Put her ads back to work in the refinery. Her breathing caught. We've so far to catch up yet. Obi-Wan exchanged a glance with Anakin. So, does that mean if Rickard and Arad are busy, there's nobody in charge at the plant? Because that's what it sounds like, and if that's the case, then may the Force be with all of us. No, no, said Jacklin. If Rickard's not above ground, it's Devi you want. She got herself crippled in a mine fall, can't properly walk. So to make herself useful, she studied up on the machines. She'll be doing her best to keep the plant and shields operating sound. He exchanged another glance with Anakin. That's something at least. You've got to keep the power plant working, Teebs, said Jacqueline, her fear rippling through the force. If the storm shield fails, we'll all be dead within a week. There are portable glow lamps on the kitchen table. There's no village lighting to save power. Whoever you find, Ricard or Divi, tell them you've got my leave to do what's needed. Now, I'm off to the Charter House. Come storm time, it's where people send for help if there's trouble. If there's trouble, said Anakin once Jacqueline had left. Obi-Wan, I know, trouble's already here and it's brought reinforcements. He took a moment to taste the wild night, feeling the forces writhing. So much danger. But we'll manage. Now, I think we'll achieve more if we split up. I'll take the power plant, you keep those shield generators going. But however you do it, don't let it slip you're a Jedi. Not just for the villagers' sake, but because I don't want us to stand out in the Force. Anakin stared. You still think we're being hunted? Since that awful, sharp stab of awareness in the mine, he'd felt no further touch by the presence behind it. But while they slept, his restless dreams had told him they weren't alone. I do, he said. Now, let's go. They retrieved the glow lamps, left the cottage in darkness, and went outside. Torbell's storm shields arced overhead in an enormous bluish dome. Beyond that pale barrier, the Theta Storm raged, a writhing soup of supercharged reddish-orange poison. It almost seems alive, Anakin murmured, fascinated. Like it's trying to get in. Obi-Wan gave him a look. Less imagination and more focus, Anakin. Sorry. They went their separate ways, Anakin heading for the nearest storm shield generator, while he continued down the narrow street, the thin beam from his glow lamp bouncing with every stride. The power plant was on the far side of the village, distant from the mine and the refinery, and anything else that could be damaged if there was an accident. Jogging across the square, Obi-Wan resisted the urge to force sprint. The streets might be empty now, but that could change at any moment. He looked over at the Charter House. The front windows were dimly lit with glow lamps, and he could sense the presence of some five worried people. Overhead, beyond the storm shield, the Theta particles thrashed and swirled. Lanteeb's atmosphere must be soaked in the stuff, bloated with it. What a way to live, every day waiting for this madness to erupt. Frantically hoping that the warning system worked, that the storm shields would hold, that the worst of nature's impersonal cruelty would pass them by. Lanteeb might be a backworld, but in its own way, it too was living through a war. When this is over, I'll ask Bale to use his influence to make a difference here. These people deserve better. He found Devi alone in the small, antiquated power plant's monitoring station. Strapped into an anti-gravity support harness, she awkwardly prowled the banks of circuitry and gauges, her worried gaze reading off every tiny fluctuation in core temp, energy flow, and backfill status.
Tibyavid, she said surprised. What are you doing here?
I have some experience with machinery, he said, letting his senses touch the power plant's atmosphere. Not using the force, not precisely, just letting it whisper in his ear. Teba Jacqueline thought you might like a helping hand. Devi glared at the ceiling.
Blasted Theta Storms, on top of everything else. Yavid, when you say you've machine experience...
Something wasn't right with the generator's central flux capacitor. A rough note, a hum of warning, something out of place. Alerted, Obi-Wan began to wander down the bank of monitors, reaching out with his senses to pinpoint the problem. I have a bad feeling. Markle and I didn't just work lumber on Alderaan, he said. We worked for nearly a whole season in a power generation plant. It was Alderaan, so their equipment was much more sophisticated than yours. Ours. But, he glanced back at her, I picked up a few tricks. So, if I can be of use to you...
All the help you can give me I'll take, Devi said fervently. Now, what are you looking for?
He trailed his fingertips above the surface of the monitors. Not here, not here, not here.
Yes, here.
Putting aside his glow lamp, he took a closer look at the monitor's flickering gauges. Intrigued, Devi joined him, the servo motors in her anti-grav harness grinding. It didn't fit her properly. He could sense the dull pain in her damaged back and legs.
"What's this do?" he said, tapping the bank of equipment. "Well, that's the readout for the conversion chamber mix valve," she said, alarmed. "It's the feed valve for the liquid damatite."
Obi-Wan stared at her.
Damatite? Nobody mentioned damatite as being used as fuel.
Surely that wasn't a good idea. Devi was wrapping her knuckles to her forehead as though trying to encourage rapid thought.
Conversion chamber, she muttered. What can cause a problem with the
Impurities in the prime fuel source, he said, feeling the Force's warning sharpen. If they've clogged one or more of the feed valves...
Stang, she said softly. Yavid, you're right. How did I not... Stang!
Turning so fast that she almost overbalanced, she clumped her way across the monitoring station to a bank of equipment heavily featuring levers, manual valves, and dials.
I need to do a system flush, she said. Look at the readout again, would you, Yavid? Which specific valves are affected?
He looked. 18 valves in total, red warning lights flashing on 4.
Numbers 2, 8, 11, and 17.
Her face screwed tight in concentration. Devi slammed down levers in the order he'd called. Then she activated the valve flush and stood back, eyes narrowed as the dim, almost subliminal sound of the nearly obsolete hydraulic system kicked into play.
Come on, come on, she murmured sing-song. Yavid, what's the board reading now?
He looked again.
No change. No, strike that. 17 is green. Oh, come on, Devi implored. Pathetic it is, 1 out of 4.
2 is green, he said as another red light morphed into a cooler, kinder color.
And so is 11.
Her head snapped around to stare, her eyes intent.
Not 8?
One last stubborn red light flashed. Flashed faster. Stopped flashing altogether and became a single glaring red eye. Obi-Wan felt a tremor of alarm.
I believe 8 has gone critical. Stang! Devi shouted and hit the valve flush again. You blasted! I'm going to smash Arad, the arrogant little bav. I told him!
With an effort, she got herself back under control.
Yavid, is it working?
A shrill alarm buzzer answered for him.
Devi, can the valve be flushed manually?
Yes it can, but...
She looked down at herself, at the bulky, ungainly anti-grav support harness that kept her on her feet, but made her slow and clumsy. On the monitoring station's opposite wall, a status board started to light up. Obi-Wan followed her anguished stare.
That's not good, is it? No, Yavid, she whispered. It's very, very bad.
The system's overloading? She nodded, her pale face sweaty with fear. He pointed to the closed door at the back of the monitoring station.
The plant proper's through there.
Yes, she said breathless.
Yavid, have you ever done a manual forced?
No, he managed a quick smile.
But there's a first time for everything, and I'm a quick learner.
Devi tried, but she couldn't answer his smile.
You're sure? It's not easy, and it's dangerous.
Do we have a choice?
Not really.
Taking a deep breath, she steadied herself.
Through the door, turn right, 10 ranks over, then 6 bays down. It's number 8 valve, right? Then you're looking for the bank of green equipment. There's a spigot wheel and 2 levers. Pull down the left-hand lever. Open the spigot as wide as it'll go. Pull down the right-hand lever. Wait for the old clear bell. Yank both levers back up at the same time, then close the spigot. You got that?
He was already heading for the door.
Yes, I've got it. Wait, Yavid! She called after him. You need a hazard chute. You find them in the...
There's no time, he said over his shoulder.
Don't worry, I'll manage. All right, she said. I'll keep monitoring things out here. Good luck.
More alarms blared as he grabbed the door's handle and turned it.
I'll need more than luck. May the Force be with me.
The raging Theta storm had turned night into nightmare. Though Anakin could sense the lives in this forsaken village, huddled in their homes, slaving deep beneath his feet, and in the ever-hungry refinery, He felt like the only man alive in the world. Working his way around the perimeter of the storm shield, he didn't need his glow lamp to see or the force to guide him. The storm shield generated its own ghostly light, and the glare of the storm was like a dying sun melting out of the sky. Though it was frightening, he found the purity of its ferocity compelling, alluring. It called to something deep inside him. But Obi-Wan was right. Less imagination, more focus. He had a job to do and lives to protect. There were 15 shield generators in total, placed at intervals around the village. Each created a section of anti-grav plasma that bled into and bonded with the next, forming a seamless, impenetrable hole. He reached the third generator to find another villager already there, checking its power cell and circuitry.
"You'd be T'Makel," the man said, shining a glow lamp into his face.
In his late middle years, he had an old scar running right across both sunken cheeks.
"I'm Tarnik. Jacqueline warned you and your cousin were out to help."
Warned? That sounded ominous.
"We've a bit of machine work up our sleeves, Tarnik," Anakin said, projecting guileless concern. "With the village short-handed and the mine swallowing men, Yavin and I thought..." "No need to explain," said Tarnik.
Storm shadows flickered over him, hiding his eyes.
"I'm glad of it."
He nudged the generator.
"This one's old enough. I'm thinking since it don't take two men to look at one generator, could be you and I need to work in opposite directions."
"You want me to cross the village, start from the other side?"
Tarnik lowered his glow lamp. Despite their trouble, he was smiling, his wry expression twisting the scar across his face.
"If you don't mind running, your legs are a few seasons younger than mine."
"I can do that," Anakin said. "The two generators behind me don't show any faults."
"Glad to hear it," said Tarnik. "And the village, it'll be glad to hear you and your cousin aren't afraid to put your shoulders to the wheel. Torbel can always use good men of your stamp."
"Maybe. But it could use a fleet of Republic cruisers, the Seps kicked out, and some serious hardship assistance even more."
"That's good to know, Teeb," he said. "I'll get looking at those other generators. Meet up with you somewhere around the shield."
He waited until the murky half-darkness claimed him, then broke out of his jog into a proper force sprint. Only to the other side of the village. Not for long enough to make Obi-Wan frown. Not long enough, he was certain, to attract any malicious notice. And that there was notice to attract? That was yet another problem on their crowded plate.
I wish I knew what it was Obi-Wan felt down in the mine. I wish I knew why I didn't feel it too.
All he could feel in this moment, speeding to the next generator, was what the storm would do to this vulnerable village if he and Obi-Wan didn't prevent it. His mother's voice echoed in the caverns of memory.
"He can help you. He was meant to help you."
As he reached the next generator, he dropped out of force sprint, his heart thudding hard in his chest, and his breathing ragged, muscles burning for want of proper fuel. His lightsaber, still safe in its shielded pocket, felt heavy, almost burdensome. They needed some decent food. Gritty gruel and anemic stew wouldn't keep them going for much longer. Ignoring the glow lamp, he let the force show him the inner workings of the generator. Old and overworked, yes, but reliable, at least for now. One more down, lots more to go. He forged on to the next generator. Eardrums battered, skin scorching even beneath his filthy, sweat-stained clothes, Obi-Wan made his way through the ferocious heat and noise of Torbel's long-outdated, struggling power plant.
10 ranks over, then 6 bays down. Look for the green section.
He tried to feel Anakin through the Force, make sure he was all right, but his senses were overwhelmed by the sheer enormity of the storm. Its impersonal malevolence drowned every other thought and feeling, the danger it posed to every life in the village obliterating the other danger he knew was out there somewhere, stalking them. Rank 6, rank 7, rank 8... The air shimmered. It was like being back on Tatooine, feeling the menace of that extraordinary heat, watching the dry air shiver in the furnace between sand and sky. So many worlds he'd visited in his life, but not one came close to that stark and endless desert, a crucible for forging many strange and wonderful things, not the least of which is Anakin. 10 ranks over and 6 bays down, the sense of dread increased, his awareness of urgency growing. The laboring power plant's struggle shuddered through him. Rank 9. Rank 10. Now, count to 6 and look for the green. Count to 6 and look for the... There. As he confronted the bank of levers and valves, the force shrieked a warning. Red lights flashed. A strident alarm sounded. He could feel the valve structure's imminent explosion. No time to think or worry or prepare. He dragged off his shirt and used the filthy material to protect his hands. Pull down the left-hand lever. Open the spigot as wide as it'll go. Pull down the right-hand lever. Wait for the all-clear bell. Yank both levers back up at the same time, then close the spigot. The levers and spigot were jammed by the heat and imperfect maintenance, by wear and tear and the passing of time. Torbell's decrepit machinery was falling apart piece by piece. He had no choice. He used the force, knowing even as its transcendent power helped him shift the levers and turn the spigot, that the enemy seeking him would see him like a flare in the night sky. Here I am. Come and get me. Panting, his hands searing, his nose and mouth tainted with the stink of overworked hydraulics and overheated wiring and circuits, and the peculiar stink of cooked damatite, Obi-Wan dragged his shirt on again and stood back. The hysterically leaping gauges slowed, and slowed, and slowed some more. Closing his eyes, he sank his awareness into the valve system itself, became a part of the agitated liquefied mineral. Such a dangerously unstable fuel. How desperate must these people be even to contemplate using it? And then, he felt the seething surge settle as the blocked valve washed clean and the fuel flowed once again through the plant's arteries. He permitted himself a very small smile.
"Are you all right, Yavid?"
Devi demanded, breathless, as he returned to the monitoring station.
"I can't believe you did it. I can't believe you're not fried, that we're not fried or blown into a million pieces. Yavid, are you sure you're all right?"
"Yes," Obi-Wan said, and was shocked to hear his croaky voice. He felt crisped head to toe, and the relative silence of the monitoring station made him dizzy all of a sudden.
"Oh, Teeb," said Devi. "What a mercy you were here."
To his surprise, she threw her arms around him and held him tight. Not wanting to hurt her feelings, he returned the gesture, and almost immediately she let go of him and retreated a step.
"Sorry, I don't usually do that, fling myself on strange men," she said, flustered.
"That's quite all right," he grinned at her. "I've experienced far less pleasant embraces." She stared, uncertain. And then she laughed, in the midst of chaos and fear, a delightfully uproarious sound.
"Oh, I do hope you stay in Torbell, Teeb Yavid. We could do a lot worse than you."
It hurt him to lie.
"I hope I can stay too, Devi. My cousin and I..."
And then, he was spinning to face the monitoring station's outer door, the rest of his lie abandoned.
"Anakin. Oh, no."
The next storm shield generator overloaded just as Anakin reached it. He had a split second's warning, one hammer blow from the Force. The storm seemed to hold its breath, and then exhaled in renewed fury as the generator erupted in a burning light show of sparks. With a scream like a wounded animal, the shield directly overhead collapsed, and a maelstrom of Theta particles poured through the gap. He acted on instinct, and out of sheer bloody-minded terror. Throwing up his hands, he used the Force to hold back the stream of Theta particles, and with a shout of rage, he became one with the storm shield, rejected the storm. He thought he could feel his blood bubbling. He was losing himself, disappearing within the scarlet vortex of the Force as it consumed him and transformed him into fire. And there was his mother, whispering again,
"He can help you. He was meant to help you."
Furious, Anakin stood alone against the storm. On Coruscant, in the temple, Taria Danson and Ahsoka shadow dance with their lightsabers. Shadow dance within the Force. Open and trusting, they swim its light tides, and as one are swept up in a tidal wave of fear. Shock twists them, and they stumble, fingers loosening, lightsabers fall. Shocked younglings whisper and wonder what to do. As Yoda, in meditation, is shocked out of his communing by a sense of danger sharp as pain. Hand pressed to his head, he seeks for understanding, seeks to see what has happened. But the dark side is a jealous shroud. It keeps its secrets close. Yoda grits his teeth and fights it. As the Drevox psychic seeker lifts its head and scents the air and keens with triumph, because above all things it is a hunter, and no hunter likes to be eluded. But now it can see the missing Jedi so clearly, lighting up its mind, and on the map it can pinpoint them exactly. And Locke Dird laughs and laughs and laughs. Every alarm in the monitoring station was sounding. Devi pushed her anti-grav harness to its limits as she flung herself from station to station.
No, no, don't do that! She shouted, slamming switches, hitting buttons. Don't you dare!
Devi! Obi-Wan yelled. Tell me what I can do to... She flung out an arm, pointing toward the generator and storm shield status board.
Glue your eyes to those gauges. We've got one shield generator down. If another goes, it's over. We're all dead. I don't even know how the rest of the shield's still holding, but I don't care. It's holding, and that's all that matters.
I know how. It's Anakin. May the Force protect him. Sick with fear for him, Obi-Wan crossed to the status board and read off the gauges, even as his stomach churned and the bile rose in his throat. Hold on, Anakin. I'll be there as soon as I can. Because surely not even the Chosen One could hold back a Theta Storm on his own. It was the most awful thing I've ever seen, Qui-Gon had told him so many years ago. Theta Storms kill in two ways, you see. If you're contaminated from a distance, well, it takes you a long time to die. But if you're in the storm's path, it will rip you to pieces and then melt your bones. I've seen it kill both ways, and both ways are cruel. Better to be swallowed alive by a sarlacc.
Well, Devi demanded, are they holding? The other generators, the shield? Yavid?
Obi-Wan wrenched his mind from the past and checked the status board again.
Yes, so far so good.
Devi was sweating, fat drops rolling down her fierce and unremarkable face. But instead of capitulating to the fear, she fought it.
This is crazy, Yavid. Crazy, she said, and banged her fist on another gauge. If these readings are right, this is a Class 4 storm. I never thought I'd live to see one this bad.
So I should feel honored. Look on it as a kind of welcome home celebration. She snorted.
Ha! Some welcome.
And then even that tiny moment of humor was obliterated as yet another alarm began to sound.
Oh, have mercy, she whispered. No, please, no.
What is it? What's happening? She staggered to another bank of monitors, then turned, her face grayish-white.
We've got a power surge building,
she said, her voice catching in her throat.
And I can't stop it, not without shutting down the entire second sector, and that means collapsing the storm shield. Yavid!
Her terror was almost overwhelming.
Devi, are you sure we can't stop it? Short-circuit it somehow? Where will the surge hit? Devi!
Startled, she shook her head hard to regain focus and turned back to her monitors. One trembling finger traced the stuttering liquid crystal display readout of Torbell's underground power grid.
It'll blow the irrigation system for sure, she said, almost in tears. It might take out the artesian pump, probably not the storm shield, and then, stang, the mine. Will it hit the mine? No, 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 not the mine, the refinery.
Spinning around, she nearly fell over.
Unless there's a miracle, it'll ground in the refinery. Yavid!
Devi, try to stop that surge, he ordered, already heading for the station's outer door. There has to be a way to divert it or decompress it. Something, anything. Please, you must try. Raise a rad in the refinery and Ricard at the mine. Tell them to evacuate everyone to a safe distance. The moment he set foot outside the power plant, he turned toward Anakin and felt his heart thud as he saw the gaping hole in the storm shield, felt the furious concentration of power,
of the Force in that one small place as Anakin held back the storm's might. And then, he felt the gathered villagers, their numbers growing, their fear and astonishment mounting as they watched the stranger from Voteb do a thing that should not be humanly possible.
Hold on, Anakin. Hold on.
He turned and force sprinted for the endangered refinery. Chapter 9. The refinery was like a war zone. Oblivious to their imminent danger, the villagers of Torbel worked furiously to satisfy the needs of a government that had used them as slaves. Every station was in operation. Sorting barrels, compression chambers, screening units, conveyor belts, tumblers, graders, laser emulsifiers, sonic scrubbers and packing bays, with trolleys waiting at the end to be loaded with damatite, then hauled out to the warehouse for collection. Death for a thousand worlds. Everything was stink and noise. Thumping, thudding, banging, ringing, screeching, grinding. Obi-Wan felt the cacophony like percussion on his skin. His bones were tuning forks driving spikes of sound through his brain, and his nose and mouth sucked dry with the heat and acrid fumes. Raw damatite was poisonous, and he wore no protection. How long before he'd be affected? He had no idea, and it didn't matter anyway. There wasn't time to pull on a suit. Long rows of strip lighting sputtered and surged, echoing the instability of the village's threatened power supply. Not a single safety-suited villager seemed to have noticed. They were consumed by desperation, by the obliterating need to meet their impossible quota. If Devi had managed to get a call through here, no one had listened. He took hold of the nearest villager and spun her around. As she gaped at him through her eye shield, he gave her a hard shake. "You're in terrible danger, Teba. Get out now. Run!" The villagers close enough to hear him stopped working. Letting go of the woman, he turned on them next. "All of you, get out of here. There's a power surge building." They didn't know him. They didn't trust him. Foolishly, understandably, they hesitated. Recklessly desperate, he used the force to push them. "Get out!" The villagers dropped their tools and ran for the door, clumsy and slow in their heavy protective clothing. He could feel the air swirling, reacting to the unstable power grid. The lights overhead were flickering faster now, and then the conveyor belt shuddered and groaned. Added to the refinery's rough symphony, a counterpoint of startled voices. "Get out! Get out!" he shouted, running along the aisles between the workstations. "Spread the word! Get out! This sector of the power grid is about to blow!" He couldn't see Arad. Perhaps Ricard's son didn't know there was trouble, because if Devi had called here and he'd ignored her. The trickle of fleeing villagers was building to a flood as his frantic warning leapt from station to station. Static discharges began a brilliant, lethal dance over the refinery's battered old equipment, arcing and spitting and sizzling with sparks. An angry shout cut through the noise trapped beneath the refinery's roof. Obi-Wan spun around. It was Arad, slamming back into the main work area. "What are you doing?" The young man snatched at the nearest villagers, squeezing past him, heading for safety. "You can't go, we're not finished!"
"He says there's a power surge," one of the villagers shouted, pulling free. "The grid's going to blow! Get out yourself, Arad!"
"What?"
Arad was shaking his head.
"What are you... Rontal, get back here! Arba, you can't go! My father's relying on us to..."
But Rontal and Harba weren't listening.
"Arad!"
Obi-Wan left for him.
"You must get everyone out of here. There's a..."
Arad shoved him away.
"There's still time. We've nearly made quota. We have to protect this last batch of damatite, Yavid. You don't understand what..."
"No, you fool. You don't understand," he retorted.
"Look around you. Look at the static discharge. Devi says the power surge is going to ground itself right here."
The last villagers were making their escape. Arad stared after them in furious despair, then waved a dismissive hand and turned his back. Heedless of the danger, he rushed to the nearest juddering conveyor belt and slammed a lever down, halting its progress before the chunks of raw damatite it carried could tumble to the pitted ferrocrete floor. Somewhere in the refinery, a warning klaxon began to shriek.
"Arad!"
Obi-Wan followed the younger man as he slid between workstations to the nearest sonic scrubber.
Do you hear that? Your sub-generator's starting to overload. You have to come with me now.
If you want to run, then run,
Arad spat, keying rapid-fire instructions into the scrubber's command center. He discarded his protective headgear, revealing straw-colored hair curled with sweat.
But my father's trusting me to keep this shipment.
Is the young fool mad?
Obi-Wan thought, then shouted.
Your father doesn't want you to die for it. For pity's sake, Arad!
Snarling, Arad snatched a wrench from his sagging tool belt and raised it.
I only need a few more minutes, Yavid. If you aren't going to help me, then get out of my way.
Battered by noise and the Force's insistent push that he get out, get out, get out, Obi-Wan lunged for Rickard's son. Taking hold of the young man's wrists, he poured every last bit of compulsion he possessed into his eyes, his voice.
Arad, come with me.
Arad snapped his wrist free.
I can't!
He shouted, almost drowned out by the blaring klaxon and the snapping, sparking sizzle of static discharge.
If we shortchange the shipment's weight, they'll cut our food, or worse, give the contract to another village. We won't survive that. We're barely surviving now. If you want to make Torbel your own, Yavid, then help me!
Obi-Wan stared at him. If I force him out of here at the tip of my lightsaber, that will be that. He'll turn us in out of sheer spite. I can't convince him, and I can't leave him here. He had only one other choice.
All right, he said. I'll help. Shut down that bank of laser emulsifiers, Arad ordered. Hurry, and then we'll...
I'm sorry, he said, closing his fingers around the back of the younger man's broad neck. But we are out of time. This was no simple mind push. He blanked Arad's resistance with a blast of the Force. The young man's anger wilted, and his muscles softened. Above their heads, the strip lighting flared sunbright once and died, plunging the refinery into a darkness leavened only by the eerie blue flashes of static discharge. Trusting their lives to the Force, Obi-Wan slid his hand down to Arad's shoulder, gripped the foolish young man's shirt, pulled, then ran. But they'd left too late. With a deafening roar, the power grid overloaded, and they were tossed with casual violence through the stinking, burning air. Anakin felt the explosion heartbeats before it happened. Sweating and trembling with the effort of holding back the Theta Storm, ignoring the villagers who'd come to see what was going on, he tried to send Obi-Wan a warning. But his mind was so bludgeoned by the quicksilver torment of keeping the raging storm at bay that he couldn't feel his former master's presence. And then, the refinery went up like Coruscant fireworks on Republic Day. Screams and shouts sounded as panic surged through the Force, bright and white and stunning. Vision smearing and blearing, Anakin sought in the crowd for Teba Jacklin. She'd come from the charter house to see what the fuss was about, and remained because she couldn't believe her own eyes.
Jacklin! Teba Jacklin!
She pushed and shoved and swore her way to him through the jostling villagers who pointed and gasped and were beginning to break for the refinery.
Yes, Markle, she scowled, if that's even your name.
It's my name at the moment, he said, his teeth gritted against the relentless pain of the storm. Teba Jacklin, please, find Yavid for me. Make sure he's all right.
The explosion's echoes rolled around the village, trapped beneath the barely holding shield. The red storm glow beyond it was matched by the red glow of leaping flames. The refinery was burning. He and Jacklin stared at each other as the rest of Torbel's people ran to help, shadows in the glare of the storm. Some headed for the artesian well for water. Others made straight for the burning building full of raw damatite. A chilling thought struck him. Was the mineral itself flammable? That smoke, was it a toxic cloud poised to poison every last man, woman, and child beneath the storm shield?
Teba Jacklin, is there danger from the...
Her eyes were full of fear.
Yes, not drop dead on the spot, Tribble, but even with our secret protection, will all of us be sickly in the next few days?
She looked up at the thrashing Theta Storm over their heads.
Unless that clears quick soon, and we can down the shield so the smoke gets to blow clean away.
Which...
He had to pause to rebalance himself. The effort of fighting the storm was threatening to drive him to his knees. He'd started to breathe in harsh, gasping pants.
Which is worse? The Theta particles? Or the Damatite smoke?
The question made her laugh grimly.
The storm. Unless it don't clear and we're left breathing smoke for hours on end, then we'll likely be done for whichever way you slice the bread.
Of course they would be. The universe had a stinking sense of humor.
You need to find Yavid, he gasped. If he's not hurt, he can help you.
The look on her face said she thought they were all beyond help.
I'll look for him. How much longer before you fail, Teeb?
He didn't know. He didn't want to think about that.
I'm all right. Go, please.
Another deep, shuddering breath.
Ugh, find Yavid.
They were alone now, save for the men working on the shield generator. Jacqueline turned away from him.
Gine, how soon before that generator's fixed?
The oldest of the four feverishly tinkering men spared her a glance.
Gone as fast as we can, Jacqueline. Half the circuits are burned out.
Anakin tightened his hold on the Force, feeling the seethe and surge of the storm like living fire.
I can... Hold on, Teeba. Don't worry about me. Just go. Go!
Half step by half step, Jacqueline retreated. In the garish light, her eyes narrowed. A muscle worked along her jaw.
I know what you are, young Teeb. You're...
Not now!
He said, almost groaning.
Please, find Yavid. Tell him... I'll get there... as soon as... I can.
Instead of answering... She turned to look at Gine one last time.
Could be our lives are with you now, old Teeb, she said, her voice cracking. Don't you be letting us down.
His teeth showed briefly in his thin, seamed face.
Not planet too, old Teeba. Get on now. Ricard'll have need of you.
Anakin took another rib-cracking breath.
Teeba!
I know, she snapped, retreating. Yavid, I said I'd look and I will. I'm an honest one, even if you aren't.
She broke into a flat-footed run. He watched her for a few short, uneven strides, feeling Gine's measured stare.
Don't look at me, old man. Fix that generator, would you?
Anakin hurt so much now, it would be easy just to...
give in.
Give up.
Let go.
But he couldn't do that. Hundreds of lives were depending on him. He had to stand here and take it until the generator was fixed, or his heart gave out. So he closed his eyes. Whether it made sense or not, he always found it easier to focus his will when cocooned in darkness. With sight denied him, all his other senses leapt to keener life. The stink of the shield generator's scorched circuitry, the stink of burning damatite from the exploded refinery, the stink of his own sweat. He heard, felt, three more explosions, smaller this time in swift succession. There were shouts, sirens, sounds and echoes drumming. The worst of the Force's insistent warning had faded, leaving him scoured hollow and stunned. Now, all he felt in the Force was confusion, fear, and pain. Everything he usually felt, no matter where he was. It was terrible, and yet in the strangest way, also comforting. He knew how to deal with that. It was the unknown that made him nervous. How long had he been standing here, holding back the storm? Probably less than an hour. It felt like days, years. He didn't have much time before the choice of whether to let go or endure would be out of his hands. Even the Chosen One had limits. He remembered himself as a small boy, boasting to Qui-Gon at his mother's rough table.
Has anyone ever seen a pod race? I'm the only human who can do it.
And now, he was probably the only Jedi who could turn himself into a living storm shield.
It isn't boasting, it's the truth. I've got a knack for beating the odds.
Now, all he had to do was beat these odds for just a little bit longer. Sweat pouring, heart pounding, dimly aware that he was burning himself out, Anakin clung to the Force like a child to its mother's hand. Time passed. He passed with it in silence.
All right, said Gine at last. I think that's got it. Teeb Markle.
Stirring, he opened his eyes. Teeb?
We're going to try the generator. Get ready.
He managed to nod. The other three men stepped back from the generator as Gein, sore and sorry and tired, took a deep breath and reconnected the power supply. He flipped a series of switches, waited, then activated the shield. With a sizzling hum, the storm shield came back online. Gein and his three friends cheered, tiredly ecstatic. And Anakin slumped, falling boneless and graceless to the hard, dry ground. He could feel himself shaking, teeth chattering, lungs aching for air. He rolled onto his side and curled into a ball. His lightsaber, undiscovered, banged against his ribs as Tor-Bell swung and spun around him. Vaguely, he was aware of agitated voices calling his name and concerned hands poking and prodding to see if he was still in one piece. He couldn't say. He couldn't answer their anxious, shouted questions. He couldn't even tell if he was still hurting or if what he felt now was just the memory of pain. Only once before had he ever felt anything close to this, and that was on Geonosis, in the cave after Dooku's savage force lightning had come close to killing him. After a while, eons, the worst of the shuddering passed. He opened his eyes, uncurled his spine, and looked up. Yes, Tor-Bell had a storm shield, and it wasn't him. On the other side of the plasma, the Theta Storm continued to spit radioactive rage. Spit away. I don't care. You're not getting in. He rolled onto his hands and knees, and then levered himself upright. Reaching hands helped him, and he was grateful for that. Red and black spots danced before his eyes. He had to blink to clear his vision.
Stay there, young Teeb, said Gein, holding tight to his elbow. Went down hard, you did. Just catch your breath.
I'm all right, he said, and was startled to hear how raw his voice sounded. Staggering, he turned to look across the darkened village toward the refinery. The flames were dying down and the smoke, but the air was still tainted and thick. He tried not to think about the poison he was sucking into his lungs. He looked back at Gein.
Stay here and keep an eye on that generator, Teeb. And if it looks like blowing again, send for me. I'll come back.
In the shifting light, the old villager's salt-gray eyebrows lifted.
Mighty sure of yourself you are for a young Teeb, he said, very dry. Never knew a land Teeban farmer with your knack of taking charge. Never knew any farmer could hold back a Theta Storm neither, not with the power of his mind.
Behind him, his friends nodded agreement, a small knot of suspicion even though they were grateful. Anakin sighed.
Teeb Gein, we both know I'm not a farmer. Will you stay here?
We'll stay, said Gein, nodding. And if we're needful of a Jedi, we'll know where to look.
Wonderful. Obi-Wan's going to kill me.
He had no hope of force-sprinting his way to the ruined refinery. The vicious edge of his pain had dulled, but every bone and muscle and sinew still ached. His sense of the Force was fiercely dimmed, and how long it would take for his numb shock to subside, he couldn't begin to guess. He'd never exhausted himself like this before.
There's a first time for everything, I suppose. I just really wish that this wasn't it. Gagging at the stench of burned damatite, he pushed himself into a stumbling run, left the villagers behind him, and went in search of Obi-Wan.
It was the anguished sobbing that shocked him awake. Dazed, Obi-Wan opened his eyes. Then he sat up, coughing, and grimaced as old and new bruises alike complained. The taste of thick smoke, burned wiring, and scorched earth was foul. Looking around, he realized he'd been laid out on the ground a good distance beyond the entrance to the refinery. Much farther than the explosion would have thrown him, surely. Which meant Someone must have dragged him out of the way and left him. The refinery was ripped apart, flames flickering in the debris. Some villagers had formed a bucket chain and were steadily passing containers of water from the artesian well and throwing them on the fire. Did they have no chemical suppressants? And then he saw a scattering of discarded canisters, which meant they'd had them, used them, and were now making do. Even with the portable arc lights, there was barely enough illumination to see clearly. Everything was ghostly in the haze of stinking greenish-gray smoke. Damatite smoke. So they were all breathing poison? Oh, wonderful. Because things had been going so well up till now. Nearby, someone was sobbing. He cast about for the source of the awful sound. There, not even a stone throw's distant, half concealed in shadow, a huddled collection of villagers. It was a young woman weeping, collapsed against someone older, someone he recognized.
Tiba Jacqueline!
She broke off her murmuring to the crying young girl and turned her suspicious gaze on him.
Tib Yavit, if that's even your name.
It'll do, he said warily, getting to his feet.
Where's my cousin? Have you seen him?
Jacqueline stared through the eddying smoke toward the section of storm shield that had failed.
Yes. He says to tell you he'll come when he can.
What? Anakin was still standing between the Theta Storm and the village? It was hard to believe that even he could endure such stress for so long.
You know what he's doing?
And what he is, she said, nodding. What you both are, Teeb.
Obi-Wan felt his lips twist in a wry smile.
Trouble? I suppose that's yet to be seen.
Since she knew, since she'd guessed, he took a moment to reach out through the Force and make sure Anakin was all right. What he felt made his heart thump hard.
Anakin, hold on.
And then he looked again at Jacqueline.
I am sorry, Tiba. It wasn't meant to turn out this way.
No, she said, as quiet as he was, and let her cheek rest against the softly weeping girl's head.
A lot of things weren't.
The worst of the fire was extinguished now, the bucket chain winding down. Relieved, he couldn't sense the kind of panic or alarm that meant a similar disaster was brewing elsewhere in the village.
The power plant? The mine? Devi, Rickard, they're all unscathed?
What about the artesian well?
Devi said, the irrigation system was blown out by the power surge, said Jacqueline,
her voice thin with exhaustion and shock.
We'll need to wait for the storm to pass and daylight to get a proper look. The mine and the power plant stand. Debbie's working herself into a collapse, but she'll not give way.
She shook her head.
She's a good woman. We'd be in trouble without her.
What about casualties? I tried to clear the refinery. Did everyone... The look on her face silenced him. Suddenly apprehensive, he looked around again.
Tiba, where's Arad? Is he...
We've a sick house, said Jacqueline, and gestured in the direction of the square. Arad's there with the others badly hurt.
His mouth dried. How many of us? How badly hurt?
9, Teeb Yavid.
Jacqueline's eyes were shadowed with misery.
But Arad's the worst. Rickard's left him there with Tiba Sufi and Tiba Brande. They see to our most poorly between them. Sufi worked as a hospitaler once off in Lantiba.
Stang.
Stang.
And when you say he's the worst... She heaved a deep sigh.
I'm told you did your best to save him, Yave.
A sharp head shake.
What's your real name, Teeb? It's a lie to call you Yavid, and this is no night for untruths.
Obi-Wan, he said. Jacqueline, is he dying? Jacqueline shrugged.
He could be, Obi-Wan,
she said, close to defeat. Then she looked up.
We all could be if this storm don't ease, so we can lower the shields and lose this smoke.
So, they were breathing in poison.
I thought those pills you gave me and Anakin,
they'll not do you the same good as the rest of us, she said.
We've been taking them all our days here. But not even our secret will keep us from sickening if we breathe in much more of this filth. Her chin jerked at the drifting smoke. Could be you and Anakin won't do too badly, though, seeing as you're not regular people. She was bitter, and he couldn't blame her for it. Teba, I need to see Arad. There might be something I can do to help him. If I leave you here...
Yes, leave me. Jacqueline frowned at the twisted tumble of overheated, smoking rubble before them and the villagers who still remained with their buckets and hope. It seems we're truly done here, with the refinery in ruins and our future with it. I'll see you at the sick house by and by. Now you're up and sound, I'll need to get to my duties. And where is Ricard if he's not at the sick house? Do you know?
Last I saw, he was to the power plant, she said. It's got to take first place. If we're to have any chance, there won't be another surge along the grid.
Fear shivered through her.
Another surge will kill us, Teeb. Can you do anything about that?
Obi-Wan felt his belly twist.
I don't know. We'll try.
You try, and we'll be grateful.
And what was that? Blackmail? Or simply the voice of desperation?
Jacqueline, we'll try. Leaving her to her duty, he made his way to the sick house. The villagers he passed scarcely paid him attention, too caught up in the disaster to care for a farmer from Voteb. Jacqueline clearly hadn't told anyone what she'd learned about him and Anakin. If she had, they'd be stopping him, disaster or no. He felt his breath catch. Arad. He should have drawn his lightsaber on the young man after all, because the truth was out now regardless. I might have saved his life instead of... And then, reaching the edge of the empty village square, seeing lights in the charter house and what had to be the sick house, two doors farther down, the despair lifted. He felt a stirring in the force, a bruised and battered and wonderfully familiar presence.
Obi-Wan!
He and Anakin met in the middle of the deserted street. During their years as Master and Padawan, he'd done his best to break Anakin's childish dependence on demonstrations of affection. He'd failed. And now, full of relief, he found himself reaching out to clasp his former student's shoulder. The fitful illumination from the square's plasma lights showed him Anakin's face and the price he'd paid for keeping the Theta Storm at bay. It was a moment before he could trust his voice.
There you are. I was beginning to think you'd gone off somewhere for a nap.
Sunken-eyed, Anakin dredged up a smile.
Ha ha, you all right?
I'm fine, but Arad's not, he said. We were caught when the refinery blew. Anakin raised an eyebrow.
So, if it's not crashing vehicles, it's exploding factories?
Obi-Wan, I know, I'm incorrigible. And quite possibly a bad luck charm.
Greenish-gray smoke eddied around the plasma lights.
Anakin, the burned damatite. It's toxic, I know, said Anakin. His ghastly smile returned just for a moment. And I thought we were in trouble before. He didn't want to say it or even think it, but he had to.
I'm not sure how soon, but things are going to get worse. Whatever's hunting us, it felt you.
Anakin's face went still.
I didn't have a choice, Master. The shield collapsed in the storm. I couldn't let it...
Master, Obi-Wan thought, then said, I know you couldn't. I'm not angry. If anything, I'm astonished.
Anakin, what you managed?
Obi-Wan shook his head. I'm not certain that Yoda himself could have held this wretched storm back the way you did. For as long as you did. You saved the village.
Yeah, said Anakin, scowling now. Just in time for everyone to drop dead from damatite poisoning.
Obi-Wan, this thing hunting us...
I don't know, but as soon as this storm clears, we've got to get out of here.
And go where?
I don't know that either, he said, fighting the soft touch of a dangerous fear. Any suggestions?
Obi-Wan... Anakin dragged his forearm across his filthy, sweaty face. We're going to have to invent a new word for the kind of trouble we're in.
Perhaps we can have a small competition,
and the winner gets to live, that sounds like a plan. Despite everything, Obi-Wan felt himself smile. Things could always be worse. I could be stuck here on my own. Anakin, I must get to Arad. There's a chance I can save his life. Then go, said Anakin. It's not like we have to be secret Jedi anymore. Can you go to the power plant? Jacqueline says Rickard and Devi are there trying to make sure we don't have another grid surge. They could use your expertise. Swaying on his feet, Anakin nodded. Sure. Does Rickard know his son's injured? Jacqueline says he does. Do you want me to tell him you're... No, don't say anything, he said. I don't want to get his hopes up. I might not be able to help Arad at all. If anyone can, you can, said Anakin. And because he was Anakin, and so tired, and had only ever pretended to learn that lesson of distance, gave him a swift embrace. We'll get through this, Obi-Wan. It's what we do, remember? We survive catastrophe, even if it's by the skin of our teeth. Yes, we do. I just wish we didn't get quite so much practice at it. Refusing to worry, he made his way across the village square to the sick house as Anakin headed for the power plant. There, he found Teba Branda and another woman, short and broad and busy with bandages. She had to be Teba Sufi, who'd once worked in a Hantiba med center. Thank the Force for small mercies. Sufi turned, hearing his boot heels on the wooden floor.
What do you want, Teeb? Are you hurt? If you're not bad, you'll have to wait. It's only bad cases we're treating here.
He could see that. There was Arad, a motionless heap on one cot, and sitting by another was the little girl Gretty. That must be her mother then, Boley. The woman was long and thin and fever restless beneath her blanket. He counted another 8 injured villagers in the room, which smelled of antiseptic and urine and fresh blood and fear. Gretty sat a little straighter.
That's Teeb Yavid. He's my friend.
I've come to offer my assistance, Teeb Sufi, he said, closing the door behind him. Jacqueline told me Arad was sore hurt in the explosion.
You tried to get him out, I'm told,
said Teeb Sufi, raking him head to toe with a fierce look that reminded him piercingly of Vokara Che.
Got most everyone else out, too. That was well done, Teeb Yavid.
Obi-Wan crossed the floor to Arad's cot and stared down at the unconscious young man. Both arms and his right leg were roughly splinted. A red-soaked bandage was wrapped around his head. Bruising blotched the right side of his face, and his bare chest was punctured in a score of places, scraped and bruised to a raw, weeping mess. Stang. This is bad. Dropping to a crouch, he laid fingers lightly on Arad's wrist. The boy's pulse was racing, trying to outrun death. Actually, Teeb Sufi, it's not Yavid, he said very softly. My name is Obi-Wan Kenobi. Teeb Sufi's surprise rippled through the Force.
And you're a doctor?
She said uncertain. He turned to look at the woman and saw little Gretty staring, her old eyes so wide. No, I'm a Jedi. And I believe I can help this man, if you'll let me.
Chapter 10
Jedi?
Teeb Sufi stepped back, her face abruptly stiff with fear.
Gretty, go, get out. Find Teeb Jacqueline and...
Teeb Jacqueline knows, Obi-Wan said quickly. Please, I'm not here to hurt Arad or anyone else. I truly want to help if I can. Teeb Branda, just as surprised, touched her companion's arm.
He ran into the refinery to get people out, Sufi. He tried to save Arad.
Sufi turned on her.
He's Jedi, Branda. You know what they are. You know what they're capable of. They enslave minds. They turn free men and women into beasts for the Republic. Look at him. Hardly a mark on him, and Arad broke into pieces.
Teeb Branda hesitated. The child Gretty stood.
I don't know anything about Jedi, but I think Teeb Kenobi is a good man.
She thumped her chest with one small fist.
I think that in here, where I feel things.
She hesitated, then took a small step toward him.
Teep Kenobi?
He found a smile for her. Obi-Wan.
Obi-Wan.
Her answering smile was shy and trembling with hope.
Can you heal my mother?
Gretty!
Teba Sufi rounded on the girl.
Hold your foolish tongue, child. Boli is my business. I'll not have her meddled with by...
Gretty lifted her chin.
No, Teba. Boli is my business. She's my blood, and I'm hers, and we're all there is.
She pointed.
Chance be he might heal her. Can you do that? You haven't so far.
Listen to us, Gritty.
Teba Sufi said, cajoling.
You love your mother, we know. But this man's not to be trusted. He lied to us, came among us calling himself Yavid, calling himself Lantiban, him and that cousin.
She whipped around.
Are you that much not a liar? Do Jedi have cousins?
As Jedi count such things, Teba, then Anakin is family, Obi-Wan said carefully. We did not come here to harm you. We did not come here on purpose at all, and when the storm clears, we'll leave you. But until then, I ask you, please, let me help. Ignoring Sufi and Branda, Gretty came forward and took his hand.
Help me,
she whispered.
I don't want Boli to die.
Gretty!
No, Teba Sufi,
the child said, tugging.
I speak for her. I want this, and if he heals her, no harm done. Then he can help a rat.
Letting Gretty pull him to her mother's unquiet side, Obi-Wan looked back at Sufi and Branda. I am sworn to oppose evil and protect the innocent. You have my word, Teba Sufi. I'll not harm your patient.
Your word?
Sufi spat on the dirt-smudged floor.
What's a word of a proven liar worth? You claim you can help Boli. Help her, and I'll think twice on you. But if you can't, then Jedi or no Jedi, Torbel will have its revenge.
He nodded, accepting her challenge, then dropped to the stool beside the sick woman's cot. Gretty, he held the child's hand a little more tightly. You know I can't promise anything. The child's fear-shadowed eyes appraised him.
You'll do your best, Teeb.
My very best, I swear it.
I believe you,
she whispered, then let go of his hand and sat cross-legged on the floor.
I do.
The child had powerful Jedi instincts. You could help her, Gretty. Let her know you're here. Let her know you love her. Tears tipped onto her sunken cheeks. Nodding, she wrapped her small fingers around her mother's unhurt hand and raised it to her lips for a kiss. The simple gesture was such a profound declaration of love, Obi-Wan had to busy himself with unwrapping the bandage covering Boli's injury. It was fearful. Swollen to nearly three times its normal size, Boli's left hand was garish green and livid purple around a deep putrescent laceration. The wound's primitive stitches had burst, and it wept stinking pus. Fever had turned her blood to fire, scorching her skin and drying out her too thin body. Poisonous infection streaked up her forearm and past her elbow, heading unchecked toward her shoulder. There were ghastly greenish tracings, Damatite's fingerprints in her flesh. Obi-Wan felt a surge of misgiving. He had no formal training, no healing crystal to call on. All he had was desperation and a certain affinity for this work. Oh, Vokara Che, how I wish you were here. There was no use thinking of how tired he was already, no point dwelling on all the things he didn't have or know. This woman was dying. She was Gretty's only kin. And if I can help her, they'll let me help all the others. What better way is there to show them the truth about the Jedi? Fingertips resting on Boli's fever-heated arm, he closed his eyes and let the Force take him under. The Force in Gretty quivered in response. He breathed in, breathed out, found his precarious center. Gretty, he whispered, think of your mother's hand unharmed. Can you do that for me? Can you see it in your mind the way it was before the accident?
Yes,
she said, her voice small.
I can see it.
Hold that image, Gretty. Relax your body. Release your fears. Feel yourself floating in a warm, safe place. See your mother's hand. See her smiling instead of suffering. Restless, breathing harshly, Boli tossed her head on the pillow, her pain like a wildfire. Obi-Wan pressed his palm against her cheek and gently, inexorably, imposed his will upon her. Hush, Boli. Be at peace. Don't fight me. Feel your daughter beside you. Feel her love. Let go of your terror. Let me in. Let me in. With a familiar, warm rush, he felt himself plunge deeper into the Force, felt its power flood through him. Never knowing exactly how he did what he did, he made himself a conduit and let its mysterious strength soak into the sick woman's body. Dimly, he heard Gretty gasp as the Force stirred ever more strongly within her, instinct guiding her fledgling powers. A slow, deep shudder racked Boli head to toe. Somewhere, a woman shouted in protest.
No! Stop! What are you doing? You're going to kill her! Stop!
Have no fear, he answered dreamily. No harm is being done. He could feel the Force working through Boli's sick body, grappling with the rampant infection. And then, he was gasping as an echo of her sickness sounded through him, as he became a conduit for her pain. Heat scorched his blood, a vice closed around his skull. His hand burst into a bright and blinding anguish. He heard, felt Gretty whimper. I'm sorry, Gretty, but she needs you. Hold on. This was a fight as vicious as any battlefield encounter. The infection was his enemy, Boli's recovery his goal. Caught up in the struggle, he didn't care what it cost him, didn't care that it hurt him. He cared only to win. Fight with me, Boli. Don't give up. If only he were a true healer. To have that power now, to know he could undo this awful infection as effortlessly as he could deflect a volley of blaster bolts. Come on, Kenobi. Make her better. And then he felt it. The shift, the change in Boli's blood. It wasn't a cure, not completely, but it was change enough to give her a fighting chance. Pulling himself free of the Force, he saw that Boli lay still now, her chest rising and falling slowly and steadily. Then Gretty, tears drenching her face, moaned and collapsed across her mother. Tiba Sufi, with Branda beside her, pushed him aside.
Get out of the way, Jedi. I want to know you've not armed her.
He half tumbled, half slid off the stool, and backed away. His left hand still hurt. Boli's fever lingered in his blood. Tiba Branda scooped Gretty into her strong arms and held the child close, letting the little one weep against her shoulder. On her knees, beside the cot, Tiba Sufi felt Boli's cool forehead. Then she stared at the partly healed wound in the woman's hand and the clean, firm flesh of her arm. No trace of that greenish, streaking poison remained. The village healer looked up, her brown eyes narrowed.
She's mostly mended.
Obi-Wan nodded. I know. Sufi shifted her gaze to Gretty.
What did the child have to do with it?
She loves her mother, he said circumspect. Love can be a powerful force for good, Tiba.
Hmph.
Sufi looked down at Boli.
You can do this again?
Oh, may the Force give me strength, he thought. I will do it as often as I need to, Tiba.
You're leaving, you said.
You'll be safer if we go, but in between now and then... Obi-Wan stared around the sick house at the cots burdened with the injured. What skills I have are yours to use. Tiba Branda snorted, sounding like Yoda.
Then apply them to Arad, Jedi. He's in need of your help.
Yes, Arad was. He had broken bones and split, spoiled muscles, and some kind of growing pressure on his brain. Seated beside the young man's cot, Obi-Wan felt his courage falter.
Vokarache, inspire me, Master.
And then, reaching for his dwindling reserves of strength, he plunged himself deeply into the Force. Watching Obi-Wan drag himself back to awareness, Anakin felt a rising fear. Only trained healers were supposed to work on injuries like Arad's, and they were meant to use special crystals so they could safely contain and focus their energy. Two experienced healers on the war's front line had crippled themselves doing what his mentor was trying to do now.
What were you thinking, Obi-Wan? This isn't your job.
Beside him, Teeb Ricard hugged his ribs in silent distress. On his other side, Teeba Jacqueline rocked on her heels. At long last, Obi-Wan opened his eyes.
My son, said Ricard, pushing forward. How is my son? Will he live? Have you healed him?
Obi-Wan dragged a shaking hand down his face and nodded.
Yes, Teeb, he'll live. He's not mended entirely, his broken bones are still knitting, but the wound in his head is dealt with, and the bleeding in his belly.
He took a deep breath and let it out hard. He must stay quiet with Teeba Sufi a while yet. The Teeba came forward with scissors and fresh bandages.
I'll see he does, Teeb Kenobi.
Obi-Wan stood, not quite steady. Is there anyone else here you think is in danger? Anakin opened his mouth to protest, but Obi-Wan raised a silencing hand. Teeba Sufi's frowning gaze traveled over the other occupied cots.
No,
she said.
There's pain and little rest, but no death due the others, not that I can see.
She looked Obi-Wan up and down.
You've done enough. It's rest you need.
Soon, said Obi-Wan. Teeb Ricard.
Ricard was hovering over Arad.
What?
I must ask you to step outside for a moment with myself and Anakin and Teeba Jacqueline.
No, this is my boy,
Ricard protested. In the sick house's dull lighting, his face was drawn so tight it looked close to tearing. All his knotted scars shone with oil and dirt and sweat.
I'll not leave him.
I'm sorry, Teeb, you must, said Obi-Wan.
Even exhausted, his voice snapped with authority. It's village business, and you're the head miner. Sufi patted Ricard's bowed shoulder.
I'll sit with him, Teeb. If he stirs, I'll call you.
Please, Ricard, Teeba Jacqueline said. I can't decide for Tor-Bell on my own. That's not right.
Resentful, Ricard shrugged Sufi away.
Don't keep me from him long, Teeb Yavid, or whatever you call yourself.
Anakin stared at him. Teeb Ricard, you could keep a civil tongue. Master Kenobi just saved your son's life.
Anakin, Obi-Wan murmured, don't. His tone doesn't matter.
It did, but he could argue the point later. Leaving the sick to the care of Teeba Sufi and Teeba Branda, they withdrew to the street outside the sick house. Tor-Bell had quieted a lot in the past hour. Flickering lights in the distance spoke of families sheltering in their homes. The mine was emptied. No one walked or drove through the village. The low-throated hum of the generators was the only constant sound. Beyond the plasma shield, the Theta Storm continued to lash them, an odd light building behind its reddish-orange glow. Dawn. The air trapped inside the shield was still tainted with smoke, still poisoned. Coughing, Anakin tried not to think about that.
What do you want to say, Jedi? Ricard demanded. Spit the words out and leave us be.
Obi-Wan didn't answer him. Anakin, the power plant, it's stable? And the generators, you're confident no more will blow?
Confident? Now that was a bold word.
He'd spent the last hour with Ricard and Devi working like a crazy man to shore up every circuit, every relay, every diode interface, and every plasma conduit and junction. Tor-Bell's power plant made Mos Espa's look sophisticated. How these people managed to survive out here had become a constant source of amazement to him.
Devi and Teeb Ricard say the plant's holding steady enough, he said cautiously.
I agree. I don't think we'll have another power surge, and we couldn't find another faulty shield generator, provided the storm doesn't last much longer.
There's no knowing when it'll stop, said Jacqueline. It'll pass when it passes. Could be hours, could be days.
Great. Don't worry, we'll keep the plant running somehow.
So, said Rickard, rubbing his eyes, you're Jedi. And what does that mean for Tor-Bell? Can you save us from the government when it learns we can't supply it with enough Damatite?
No, said Obi-Wan. And we can't be found here when the convoy comes. But before we leave, we need to send a message to the Jedi Temple on Coruscant. Rickard and Jacqueline stared at them.
Our comm-ob isn't strong enough to punch a signal that far, Jacqueline said, hostile. It's not even strong enough to reach the nearest holonet relay.
That's all right, said Obi-Wan. We have the means to boost the signal, but we'll probably blow your hub doing it.
Are you mad? Rickard demanded. Cut us off from Lantiba, from help if we need it.
Jacqueline was shaking her head.
You can't expect us to say yes to that.
It's said the Jedi are arrogant, Rickard growled. Seems to me that's a reputation well deserved.
Excuse us a moment, would you? Said Anakin and tugged Obi-Wan aside.
Anakin.
He lowered his voice.
We have to tell them about the Damatite, about what it's being used for.
No,
said Obi-Wan.
It's too dangerous.
Obi-Wan, we have to. It's the only way to get them on our side.
He glanced at Rickard and Jacqueline. She had her hand on his arm, close to shaking him, and his worry for Arad shouted in the Force.
Do you think we can't trust them?
I think they don't need to know, said Obi-Wan.
They have burdens enough.
Maybe, but we don't have the luxury of sparing them, he retorted.
Chances are our only hope of stopping Durd is with an all-out assault on this planet before the Barv can ship his bioweapon off-world. Are you really going to put these people's feelings ahead of that?
Gray-faced with fatigue, Obi-Wan closed his eyes. Then he sighed and turned back to Rickard and Jacqueline.
Your Damatite's being used to manufacture a bioweapon, a toxic gas so lethal it will wipe out entire cities within minutes.
Anakin and I tried to stop its production in Lantiba and failed. Now we need to use, most likely destroy, your communications hub if we're to save many thousands of lives.
That's the truth, Rickard whispered. No lie. That's why the government wants our Damatite good as raw.
That's why, said Anakin. Will you help us, Rickard?
Why ask? Jacqueline said roughly. Why not bend our minds? That's what the Jedi do, isn't it?
Obi-Wan hesitated. If we have to, but we'd rather not. Jacqueline, please, we aren't your enemy. Anakin could have died tonight holding back the storm. Is that the act of a monster? Arms folded, Jacqueline stared at the ground. Anger and fear muddied her presence in the Force. Anakin turned to Rickard.
Teeb, Obi-Wan healed your son. He risked his life twice, first in the power plant and again when he got everyone out of the refinery. He's no more a threat to you than I am.
I don't.
Rickard rubbed his scarred scalp.
I don't know.
Rickard, we have to trust each other, Anakin said, stepping closer. Together, we can stop the Separatists from committing an act of mass slaughter. And afterwards, we'll make sure Lantib's freed from their tyranny, and that all of you are Anakin, Obi-Wan said sharply.
Don't make promises that aren't yours to keep.
This will be mine to keep, he insisted. If it's the last thing I do, I'm going to make sure Lantib's looked after. And if the Senate won't act, I'll appeal to the Supreme Chancellor directly.
Jacqueline's eyes widened.
You know the leader of the Republic?
Since I was a boy, Teeba, he said. Trust me, if I ask him to help you, he will help you.
Jacqueline and Rickard looked at each other, their faces in the sputtering plasma light etched with indecision. Then Rickard nodded.
All right. Use the up. We can always tell the government it blew out because of the storm.
Obi-Wan offered him a shallow, unsteady bow.
Thank you, Teeb. We're very grateful.
No. Thank you.
Rickard swallowed hard.
You saved my boy.
You should return to him, Rickard, Obi-Wan said gently. He'll want to know you're close by. And if we can ask you for one last favor...